This is Vectis Radio.
Cat.
Okay, here we go then. It's proves it's live. It's a Tuesday. And we've got a couple of special guests in the studio with us. We have the one and the only, Kelvin Curry.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Struggle to park?
You can't get in the Riverside car park, and it's coach day in the other one, so...
It's busy. Yeah. Busy out there. And we have Maggie Curry in as well.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Now, you have been in a couple of times telling us about Break the Cycle, and there's been so much going on in the last couple of months. Just for those people that have tuned in for the very first time thinking... Because I typed in Break the Cycle this morning... And one of the top things on Google was about cycling on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
Nothing at all to do with that. So just
not if you'd seen me riding a bike, no.
Tell us about Break the Cycle.
Well, Break the Cycle was set up last year as a community interest company to ostensibly help survivors of domestic abuse, whether they be male or female, and to be able to get the help they need and the support to empower them to move on from the impact of abuse. We identified a gap in provision to support people who have experienced domestic abuse to work on the internal being rather than the situation they're in, that is needed to rebuild self-esteem, feelings of self-worth and build confidence following their experiences.
I mean, it's a wonderful thing that you do, and you've had some huge successes over the last, well, since the last time you came in.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue as well, and I've no doubt about that. And would it be fair to say that there are, obviously, up and down the country, there are things in place to help people, but in certain cases, it's a case of they go round a merry-go-round and they're back again, and that's where you come in. That's
yeah.
what you want to do. That's why it's called Break the Cycle.
Well, yes, because they do great works at the refuge, which is a national thing called the Freedom Programme, which is a 12-module programme which helps people understand how they got to where they are, how to deal with the abuser and that type of thing. And people tend to go round and round through that. They learn something every time. But there's nothing beyond that to move them forwards. And what our Mind the Gap course does is fill in that gap, which is why it's called Mind the Gap, to move people forward. It deals with the person rather than their situation. So they can have great thoughts about what it is they're doing and actually move themselves forward.
Do you know, I've got so many questions I want to ask. Because whenever you come in, you always end up with, it's about a 10-minute interview, and then you think, I didn't ask that question. I want to know a bit more about that. So we said, come in, we'll do a lunchtime social debate. We'll talk about it. Well, it's not really a debate. It's, I mean, there's some shocking statistics here.
There
and
are.
We were talking about this yesterday, and you just threw in one in four?
One in four women and one in six men.
In relationships.
In abusive relationships, whether that's violence, emotional, psychological, financial.
And that's just from partner abuse. There are people in relationships who are being abused by their children, believe it or not, which we haven't even touched on yet.
And elderly people abused by their carers.
There's a whole load of abuse going on out there. The men's one's quite difficult because a lot of men won't speak up to say they are being abused by their wife because it's not the thing you do.
No, sure.
And there's employees abused by their employers.
So there's a whole lot of stuff. We can't do everything at once, but we started off with the looking at women who've been through the refuge and refugees. We're not specifically targeting one refuge. They're all over the country. And as Maggie said, they come out of that course and then they're still not quite sure where they are, how they're going to cope, and one of the problems is they make the same lifestyle decisions again. They end up either back with their original abuser, or they go through and choose another person who's similar to their abuser, and then get back in that cycle of abuse, get back into the refuge, and then back on the course again.
Do you know, I think I'm incredibly lucky, and I've never actually been in any kind of relationship like that. I'm not sure I have been, you know, there may have been some mental abuse at some point, but I don't think, you know, you think for the most much of your life you just are in a a normal kind of relationship. I know my mum, when I say, you're looking at me now, smiling, normal, me, normal. What's normal anyway?
I never said a word.
and I know my mum was abused for about 18 years, and then she plucked up the courage, because obviously back then it was different and so on. Is it different now, do you think? Because obviously,
not necessarily. I mean, my first marriage was for 10 years, and I didn't realise I was being abused. It was emotional, psychological, financial abuse. But I just thought it was normal. I assumed that everybody's marriage was the same. Because stupidly, I got married at 19, but there you go, in hindsight. But it's not until I literally woke up one day and thought, something isn't right, that things began to change.
What made you think that, though? I'm guessing because you...
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just woke up one morning and I thought, something isn't right. I have to go and search out some information from somewhere. And I went and consulted a solicitor for my free 15 minutes or whatever it was and said, this is what's happening. Is this normal? No.
So how many years was it before you actually realised that, you know, all
that
time?
About 10 years.
About 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, would it be fair to say that was it different back then? Was it harder back then?
Much harder. I didn't know anything about refugees. I didn't know anything, even if there were any. I don't suppose there were back then. Because we're talking 30 years ago.
Yeah, I would imagine then there was a lot less, you know, help available.
I imagine so, yeah.
So it's fair to say that it's made a little bit easier for you now, but I would imagine if you're actually in it, it's no easier at all.
Easier, because there are only limited spaces in any refuge, so they turn loads and loads of people away every year.
And that's one of the reasons why we'd like to get people to not go back in that system again, because it opens up spaces for people who are new or newly into the refuge system, rather than the repeat, I'm not going to say customers, it's not the right word, but the same people going round and round again because they make the same mistakes.
Do you know, when you put those figures out there and you think, you just imagine those people going round and round and round, and one in four
that's
women.
That's 1.4 million women.
Wow.
And 750,000 men, something like that.
I mean, that's too many, isn't it? That is way too many. I mean, what triggered you to get involved, do something? Is it your own issues that you had yourself that you went through?
It was that, and somebody we know who went through a refuge, and she came out the other side, and she was housed, and she had limited support for about 6 weeks, which is no fault of the system, it's just the way it is. And there was nothing. And she was basically left to get on with it on her own. So we thought, there's got to be something there, because she got three kiddies and she wasn't sure whether she could do this or could do that or could do something. Was she allowed to do this? Because her self-esteem had been battered so low, and her self-worth, because she was always told by her partner that she was a waste of space and that nobody else would want her and she can't do anything and she's useless and all that type of thing. So of course it takes some time for your 10 years or 11 years or whatever it was of battering like that. I mean, she wasn't physically battered, but battering emotionally, to get over that. So it's going to take time to rebuild it, which is what this course is all about, is rebuilding your self-esteem in yourself.
It was all kinds of things that she was being abused over. She'd go out and buy a new top of some kind, and then husband would say, oh, I don't like that, you've got to take that back, that's rubbish, I don't like you wearing that. And then she discovered she wasn't allowed to choose the clothing she wanted to wear. And one of the first things that we heard from her was, I've been out to Primark, I know it's not the greatest fashion shop in the world, but I bought something I like. Yeah, and that was the first step forward for her, that she actually bought something she liked. She hadn't got to refer to anybody else for their permission.
Wow, that must be a lovely feeling to know that somebody has gone from that to, you know, just the little things, like just going to Primark and buying themselves something. I mean, that must give them an incredible lift, and yourself as well, for knowing that as well. You think we are sort of, I don't know, we struggle to see what's out there, what's at the end of our noses, and when you shared those figures with us, I think, my goodness me, that is just, you know, think about that for a while. One in four women are in an abuse. That is, you know, mind-blowing. You think that you could be in a crowd, a restaurant, and you think, okay, X amount of you in this restaurant now are in an abusive, relationship. And let's just make it absolutely clear. It's not always just about hurting somebody, punching somebody physically.
No.
I've heard some people say that the mental abuse was far worse.
It is.
Scars heal. Mental abuse takes a very long time to get over. We've got some more figures here that, on average, high-risk victims live with domestic abuse for about 2.3 years, 2.5 years-ish, before actually getting help. And 85% of them sought help 5 times on average from professionals the year before they got effective help to stop being abused. So they do try, but if you don't know where the system is to access it, you don't know what to do.
In some ways, there's a lot of help out there, but it's being brave enough, or just knowing when you are being abused. Like you say,
you just don't know.
How do you differentiate between what you think is normal and what's right?
Well, it is very difficult because you're being brainwashed by your abuser to say, this is normal, you're the one that's wrong, you're in the wrong. It's all your fault that I'm annoyed. It's all your fault that we haven't got any money. It's all your fault. And so your self-esteem is gone. You think that's how everybody else lives. And it's either you do what Maggie did, wake up one morning and think this isn't right, or in the case of this lady we know, she was taking her kids to school one day and said to her close friend, sort of mum's chatting outside school thing, this and this happened last night, and this woman friend said, that's not right, I'm going straight to the school safeguarding team, which she did, and reported on her behalf, and that they 24 hours later they were in a refuge.
Oh wow.
With a police escort. That's how bad it was.
Oh, crikey. I mean, it took somebody else to sort of point it out there.
Well, she was too scared.
Yeah. She didn't know it wasn't right.
She was too scared to go.
And this friend who was in, let's call it a normal, stable relationship, if there's any such thing, said, that's not right. I'm just going. And she went straight into the school that minute and spoke to the safeguarding team. So there are more people out there to talk to, and the system is there to help you, but you've got to access it.
Now, we come to the course in a mo and the good work that you do, but is there enough being done? Bearing in mind that it's probably a lot more prolific than we think it is, and most of the average person on the street thinks it is. Is there enough out there for people, is there enough for people to turn to and resolve their issues, sort their life out? Is there enough help?
It depends on the area. We approached one area, didn't we, and said, could we do our course? And they said, well, actually, we've got this, and this, which is similar, which we have funding for, but if we run out of funding, we'll come back to you. So right. There are things in certain areas, but not as a national thing.
No, I mean, our own experience of, again, this lady that her friend reported her, the system was very efficient. I mean, it really was quite pleasing to see how well it worked. She had a place in a refuge, they found her somewhere to live, they sorted out all the social services, benefits, counselling for the children, which they did need. All that happened, and it all happened without anybody else lifting a finger. It was very, very good indeed.
And the eldest child is still being treated for PTSD.
So all that's in place.
What's PTSD?
Post-traumatic stress.
Right, okay.
From what she's seen and had done to her, which is not good, and she's what, 15?
15 now, yeah.
So you just have that vision of, okay, it's a man and a woman, they've got issues, and he's taken out on her, and sometimes he's, and so on. And then hang on, they've got kids. So there's not just one, two people here that are going to need some kind of help.
It's a complete cycle, whole family. Which is what Break the Cycle's about. Because if it's one family with children, the children are seeing what's happening, so they think it's normal. So they carry on in their relationships doing the same thing, and they think that's normal.
I'll give you an example of it. We had a young lad who was in a family who had the problems with, it was mostly financial abuse, but there was a bit more to it. And after being taken out of that, he got into a bit of a state because somebody was bought a present. His sister was bought a present, which was worth £3 more than the one he'd got. So he was of the opinion that his mother, who'd bought the present, owed him £3.
Right.
And that's because that's how his father had been abusing that family by being controlling over the money. And he'd learned that behaviour that was normal for him, and that has to be re-educated to understand that isn't normal.
That's scary, isn't it? That's scary that, in someone so innocent is growing, someone, a monster is going to emerge from that at some point in the future.
It's just a cycle of behaviour.
Yeah, that is.
It's learned, isn't it? Everything's learned.
So how do you break this cycle then? How do you do that? Obviously, you've got this wonderful course that's in place, and you know it's done a lot of good. It's had a lot of good feedback, a lot of positivity.
It has.
So
yeah.
How do we break the cycle?
Well, we got some funding to do these pilot courses, which were over 6 modules, and basically, it's to make the people think about habitual thinking and how many thoughts they have in a day, and to rebuild their confidence and to speak up for themselves, and about fear, what it is, and how 98% of fears never happen, and this is what stops people doing something because they're scared.
It's to rebuild their self-confidence and self-esteem, which has been basically destroyed over the time they were in their relationship, and many of them feel they've failed.
Yes.
And they blame themselves for the breakdown of their relationship, which is why they sometimes go back to the person that abused them in the first place. And we try in these courses, and we've had some great successes, I have to say, to get people to realise they are actually worth something, they are actually valued as a member of society, they can do it for themselves, and there's no shame in asking for help if you can't.
Do you know what? It's amazing when you say these words and you hear these and you hear the facts and figures and you think, okay, they're the ones we do know about. What about the ones we don't know about that are maybe listening to this and thinking, do you know what? I don't know. I've been like that. My life's been like that for the last 20 odd years.
Well, yes.
I mean, how scary. And if there is anybody out there that is that questioning it, looking at the radio and thinking, well, hang on a minute, this is affecting me, this is me, this is, you know, there is a number that you can phone, there is help that you can get.
There is.
You've got a number, obviously, you can read out.
If you're worried about abuse, there is a 24-hour National Domestic Violence Helpline, which is run in partnership with Women's Aid, and that's 0808 200 247. Or for the men's advice line, it's 0808 801 0327.
We'll give those numbers out again a little bit later on. But I mean, there's so many questions that I've already asked, you know, how do we know? How do we know when we are? When do we question it? When do we, you know, in that instance...
Is there a right time?
Well, in the instance that you mentioned earlier on, it took somebody else to notice... And
well, she'd notice because her eldest child was starting to self-harm, so she knew something was amiss, but she was just too scared to do anything.
So how many people are... I mean, you've probably rubbed shoulders and spoken to most. Is that the main reason why people don't do anything, or they take their time to do anything, or it takes a moment to really gather up some energy, some strength from somewhere,
the courage.
We had
one lady in particular on one of our courses, and she'd spent, I don't know, 15, 20 years within various abusive relationships and never had the courage to call the police, ever, until the last module she came in and she said, I did it, I called the police, because her current partner wasn't allowed into the house with her children and he broke in. And she said, I'm going to call the police. And he said, yeah, of course you are. And she did. And they came and arrested him and took him away. And she's now got this panic button, which is GPS thing. So wherever she is, she can press that button and she'll be safe. The police will come.
Well, that's because she stood up for herself for the first time.
Yeah.
First time
and
ever.
And we were really pleased that she'd done that. And we've seen quite a few people change their attitude completely about how they're going to do things. And we had one lady who'd been... kept going back to her husband because she felt she wasn't worthy, wouldn't survive without him.
For 35 years
she kept doing this same cycle, and her children had grown up to understand that she was easily manipulated, that's the word, because they'd learned that behaviour from their father. And she, about two-thirds of the way through the course, she said, I've moved out, I've bought a flat, I've moved out. And I've told them they can... Well, I won't say exactly what she said. She said, that was really hard, and I wonder if I made the right choice, but I think I have. And she bought a flat. She had... Obviously, she'd been sorting out the money situation, had been sort of half planning to do it, but she actually did it. And she said, I'm not going to see any of them ever again.
And what was the final straw? Did she say what the final straw was in the end? Obviously, for years that you know she didn't do it, but then something just snapped. I think
the confidence, to do it, and feelings of self worth.
One of the things we found on the courses is that we get a lot of people with different backgrounds who actually bond, not as close friends necessarily, but they bond over shared experiences.
Yeah.
And they obviously chat outside the meetings and talk to each other on email or whatever. And I think because of what we were asking her to think about, we don't teach anybody anything. We ask them to think about things and guide them. And she said, no, I can do this. And other people said, yes, you can. And off she went and did it. I think she made the right decision, but it's her decision at the end of the day. We didn't tell her to do that.
No, but she's happy now. She thinks she's made the right decision.
She thinks she made the right decision. She's picked up the hobbies that she used to love doing, was not allowed to do. We've had all sorts of things like that. Someone's decided they're going to learn to drive because they've never been allowed to do that.
It's really scary when the more you talk. I mean, there's one or two women that I know that don't drive, and they come from an era of long time ago. Current the more. So is that when we talk about ages and so on and so forth? I was really totally shocked to know that. At a guess, you would think that it was the under 50s that had more of the issues, more of the pressures and so on and so forth, but it ain't nothing like that.
No, I think I had a mental picture of what I thought our target participants would be, and I was thinking young mums, late 20s, early 30s, that kind of thing, with several children. Yes, there were some of those, but there are people of all ages. I mean, we got into their 60s, some of them, really. Quite remarkable how I was completely wrong in that mental image.
And been abused all their lives by various people.
It is. I said on my Facebook status this morning, it's jaw dropping. It really is. When you think of, and I know that we're an older island. There's a lot of elderly people on the island, but you still don't expect the figures to read that there's more people over 50 that are going through this kind of thing than there are below 50.
And from all different backgrounds, you wouldn't believe it.
So what triggers most of it? I mean, where does it come from? Is it the abuse, of being abused, they've been abused, and the cycle carries on? Their dad did it, so they're going to do
it. They just
and so
expect
on.
It. That's what they expect to be treated like.
Sometimes it comes from their parents, and that's how they were treated as parents. And we've had one or two people on courses who weren't abused by a partner, but were psychologically abused by their family. And then, it's the same thing. It amounts to the same thing. But sometimes it's because, particularly if you get married young, and Maggie will bear this out, you don't know what to expect. So you think that what's happening with this partner, who's started off all sweetness and light, and gradually changes over time, be a very controlling person, even down to the point of, I've bought you this mobile phone, you're not going to use any other mobile phone, and I will check who you've been calling. They wow. do, don't they?
They do.
And that's quite normal as far as they're concerned.
So controlling, does money play a part in most of the people that are have issues?
Sometimes,
yes. Not all the time, just sometimes.
Not all the time. No.
Sometimes there's financial abuse is that, I know.
I was allowed X amount to spend in a day for food. I was given it daily.
And you were allowed X amount of time to go and do that shopping.
And if I was more than 5 minutes longer than he thought I ought to be, then I was obviously having an affair.
This is your own personal experience.
Yeah.
So you were given money to say, there you go, you survive on that for the day if you
this
want
is,
food.
It's for the food for you and the children. That's it.
Okay.
So there's no weekly shop. You had to go out every day to get the shopping.
Crikey. And
I volunteered as a special constable for a few years, and he would ring up the police station to see if I was there because he didn't think I was actually there.
Blimey, it's kind of scary.
It is scary.
It really is when you think that there are. I'm thinking of a movie, of a program. A drama that you'd watch on the TV. But that's a one-off.
You can't make it up.
This is happening right on our doorsteps, and the figures are amazing. Amazing,
aren't they?
Yeah, that's probably a better word to describe. Not amazing as in wonderful. They are. They're horrendous. They're way too high. One in four women in a relationship are being abused, And, you know, mental abuse, physical abuse, it still adds up to abuse. And like we've said, that, you know, some people are worse off mentally because they've been abused mentally rather than physically. But either way, it's abuse. It just says exactly the same thing. And the ages, that's the shocking thing.
I mean, they don't think they deserve any better.
Do you think then, just say for instance, as time goes on, is it going to get better or is it going to get worse? Because if the older people are the most abusive and abused at the moment, or the people that are above 50, not saying that there isn't anything going on below, does that mean at some point we look at it and say it's because of the age that they lived in? I'm not saying this is an excuse, but, you know, it was different in the 60s then. We've heard this excuse used many times, maybe in the workplace, where somebody grabs someone's bottom and they say that was acceptable in the 60s and the 70s. You watch an old film from the 60s or the 70s where the bloke would come home and you know, demand his tea, and he's been in a pub all night and he'll give a backhander and so on and so forth. And we were kind of led to believe, wrongly, that that was kind of normal growing up behaviour in the 60s and the 70s. So with that, those people that grew up in the 60s and the 70s taking their bad habits with them to today, when they eventually fall off the other side and they're no longer here, does that mean that we're going to get a better crop of people and the issues will go away and they won't be quite so prevalent?
Sadly, I doubt that.
Because there's loads of people you haven't reached yet.
I mean, of the younger people we've seen, and they've got either additional issues with their own life, partly because they were abused, but because there's a lot of... If we just stick with men abusing women, there's a lot of macho behaviour. It's their right to deal with their woman how they feel like it. And that's not an age thing. It's just how they've been brought up, maybe by that previous generation. And they are basically bullies. And when they get stood up to, usually the right things happen, but they don't get stood up to. They just carry on bullying and end up more and more in control.
So how many times have you heard where, I mean, you kind of hinted at it now, that people will go from relationship to relationship and they'll be bullied, and there are people that go from relationship to relationship and continue to be bullied and bully.
Yes.
And nothing changes.
No. So this is what we're trying to do, is to change their way of thinking, because they think it's better to be in a relationship than on their own.
How unlucky is that, though? When you, if you just say, for instance, you are, you know, you get out of one relationship, and you know, you hear this numerous times, and you get into another relationship, and it ends up exactly the same way. I would imagine there is an element of thinking, well, hang on a minute, it must be me then. And it's not.
It isn't,
but
them, no.
But then you've put that seed of thought into your head, or it's already there, but you just continue growing it.
But there are people who prey on the people who are vulnerable.
They can tell. It's almost like they've got a radar, and they can tell.
They do it deliberately.
Yeah.
Do you ever go the other way and speak to the people that are abusing?
We haven't as yet, no.
There are courses for them, which we don't run. There are courses.
Sure.
But getting somebody to admit they need to go on the course, that's quite tricky.
Yeah, I would imagine, you know, as well, though, I mean, it would be good to sort of, because you think, okay, you can't get into the mind of a rapist, you can't get into the mind of somebody that is going to go around and just kill people just for fun. You can't, you know, but the only way you're going to find out about them is to actually talk to them.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it would help if you know, suddenly we had these people that just turned up and say, look, you know, for the last 20, 30 years, I've been in two or three relationships and I have abused people. Would we learn anything from it? Probably.
But
would we be able to... I mean, because let's be honest, it's pretty simple to work out. Someone's being horrible, abusive, physically or, you know, mentally. We know really what roughly goes on in their minds. I'm guessing they just want to hurt people. They just want to, but are they just lashing out? Do they need assistance? Do they need help themselves?
They could well do, but that's not what we focus on.
No, sure.
We couldn't possibly answer that question.
No, but they're, it's a sad thing that we haven't got, you know, in that respect, a bit more knowledge of, because then you could sort of say, right, okay, look, it's not you. The reason why it's not you is because it's them, and this is the reason why. You know, it's...
Well, there are some people who are brought up that way, so they just think it's normal. There's others that are just evil.
Yeah.
And no one knows why they're evil. They just are.
Incredibly sad that, you know, that you say the cycle just follows it, and I say going back to the 60s and 70s thing, I think there's probably an element of people that are just copying their dads,
isn't just
copying
the
their mums.
60s and 70s, is it? If you look back to Victorian times or even before, there's this the male predominance, isn't there?
Mm. There is.
They're in charge.
But it is kind of changing. The world is changing, so I'm hoping that it
slowly
gets better.
It is, and that's why we're also saying, don't forget, there are men who are being abused by their wives or partners.
Is it harder for a man to come out and say, I'm being abused?
Much harder.
I would have thought so, wouldn't you?
You don't find...
I'm not a man, so I don't...
You don't find much evidence of them coming forward for help, because it doesn't look good. But that's changing.
I don't know too many people. I'll be honest with you, I don't know too many men. I know women, sadly, that have been abused mentally, physically. Mm. You know, a few friends. My mum was abused for 18 years, and so on. But I don't know of any men. So I think you're absolutely right. It must be incredibly difficult for a man to actually come out and say, "Hey, look, I've been in an abusive relationship. I'm being abused mentally, physically, whatever."
Yeah.
But then, how many men would not even realise that they're being abused? I mean, I'm just thinking back now of all the relationships I've had, and I'm thinking, "Oh, hang on, what did you do? No, I didn't. I've never done anything violent or anything like that." But I told you the story yesterday when I was walking around the house messing around. And I managed to twist my wife's knee somehow. It was completely by accident. And I was walking around thinking, "Oh crikey, you just hurt your wife. She's got a bad knee now." I think she's playing up a little bit, but and you just it just it's in your mind. Then you think, "Oh crikey," and you don't like it. You don't. So I would imagine just on that thought process, I'm quite aware of if I'm being a bully or being bullied.
If you were a bully, you wouldn't have even thought about that.
No.
You'd have just gone... You wouldn't have even noticed that you'd done it.
That's a good way of putting it. I feel better now.
Oh,
I feel
good.
Better now. Hey, look, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with part two. I've got a few more questions. It's 22 minutes to one.
This is Vectis Radio. For the people, by the people. ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
I'll have a consonant, please, Carol.
L.
And another.
G.
And a third.
B.
And another consonant.
T.
And a final one.
Q.
LGBTQ.
If you're part of the LGBT community on the island, find out about social events and the support that's available. Key Arts will be holding LGBTQ nights on the last Friday of the month in 2017. There's so much going on. Give us a call to find out more. 0778 6080203. The project is funded by the My Life A Full Life scheme.
Isle of Wight Food Bank provides emergency food and support to local people in crisis. Your support helps stop local people going hungry. For more information, ring the office on 01983 292 040 or check out isleofwightfoodbank.org.uk/.
Do you have a spare room? Would you like to earn up to £820 for 2 or 3 weeks this summer? Or maybe you have a passion for experiencing different cultures? Then why not host international students with the world's largest educational company, with 24-hour support from your local office based in Newport? EF Education First is by far the largest language school on the Isle of Wight. We can guarantee you students this summer. Call us today on 821133 to find out more.
the White Military and Heritage Museum. Situated on the main Cowes to Newport Road, the museum will excite your senses. Adults and children of all ages can experience the surge of adrenaline on an armoured vehicle ride around the tank track. For a real treat, why not try a ride in one of the Centurion tanks? There's also a covered rifle range to test your shooting skills. Enjoy refreshments in the cafe or the mess bar. Come along to the White Military and Heritage Museum, where you will be welcomed with open arms by our volunteer team. All profits are redistributed among armed service charities. Call 01983 300037 for more details or to book your ride.
The Political Soapbox on Vexis Radio with me, Joe Plum.
Yes, we can.
Because Brexit means Brexit.
This, Mr. President, is a remarkable record.
The Isle of Wight Zoo is having difficulty importing a tiger.
My father gave me a small loan of $1 million.
Which we wouldn't have if we listened to the muttering idiot sitting opposite me.
Joe Plum's Political Soapbox, Saturdays from 1 o'clock.
Order! Order!
Stay social and get in touch. Give us a call on 01983 240 666, or add us on Skype. It's vectis.radio. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
Welcome back to part two. We have special guests, Kelvin Curry in the studio, along with Maggie Curry. They're from Break the Cycle, Mind the Gap. It's a free course. And how do we get on the free course?
Well, we've done the pilot courses, which were 6 modules, and all the feedback we've been given has said that they loved all the content, but they wanted more of it. So I'm now rewriting it into 12 modules, and I'm hopefully going to be running those at Aspire in Ryde.
Yeah.
Once I get to know if anybody's actually interested, because they can contact us, then we can start running them. 12-week courses, totally free.
And you've already done some locally?
Yes.
And how did they turn out?
Brilliant. 100% of the people said they would recommend it, and 100% said there was definitely a need for it.
And what are they up to now? The outcome is, you know, they've all left their husbands and so on and living their lives.
One of them has decided that she's been off work with health issues because of the abuse she went through. And she decided, given the age she is, that she's, I'm not doing it. I'm not going back to work. I'm going to take the pension, which has been offered. I'm going to move to the mainland, and I'm going to work in a shop. Because that's what I wanted. I want to work in a shop.
And she's doing what she wants to do.
She's doing what she wants to do.
And she wouldn't have done that before, would she?
Another one has decided that... this is a very complicated story, but she's got herself a job. Oh, there are jobs out there that I can do, and she's got herself a job, so that's really good.
She was very resistant to anything.
She was, yeah.
She's the one who's got herself a job and a bike to get to the job, and she's doing really well.
Yeah, she's doing very well. In fact, she's now looking at taking on a second job. So.
There's some wonderful testimonials here. I am stronger than I thought and capable of being in control of my life, making the right decisions for myself.
Yeah.
That must be a lovely feeling when you've had those problems, those issues for X amount of months, years, however long. There are some great... We'll read out some more in a moment, but there's more courses coming up, and there is a telephone number. Is it a local telephone number?
Yes, it's 01983 754 666.
And all you've got to do is ring that number if you're listening
in total
to this.
Confidence.
How does that work then, in total confidence?
I don't tell anybody who anybody is.
Sure, but you know, you meet somewhere, don't you?
Yeah,
we do. We do run into one or two of our participants elsewhere. We'll just say hi.
Yeah,
we don't go, oh hi, you were on that course, how are you getting on? That would be unprofessional.
I mean, honestly, I think people like yourselves are so how can I put it? Well, people should be champing at the bit to get your involvement in certain things, and I know that you try to give this idea to the council, and they haven't really got it yet.
They haven't got it yet.
And at some point, the penny will drop.
Hopefully,
that more people that are helping people that are out there struggling equals a happier society. personally, and that's the reason why you're doing what you're doing, and not happy with the fact that one in four women are in abusive relationships and one in six men are in abusive relationships. Well, if it was one in 100, you probably wouldn't have to do it, or it wouldn't be quite so bad. But because it is, and that's just a wonderful thing, it's in itself, that that's what you've chosen to do. This is what we want to do. We want to help people. And it's just a shame that certain people in areas where they have the power, where they can make a decision and say, okay, I like what you're doing, we've got other people that do it, but we can run this alongside, we're not going to step on each other's toes, and the more people we help, the better it is out there.
That's
we've
exactly
heard that on the mainland.
On the mainland, the Southern Domestic Abuse Service, we went to see them last summer.
Couldn't be more helpful.
We were helpful. They loved it. They wanted to see the content, of course, and see what we were up to and talk to us about it. And they said, yeah, we'll give you some contacts. And we went to visit three of their Freedom Course sessions just for a 5 minute introduction. Say, this is what we're doing. Would you like to come along? In the Portsmouth, Fareham and
Havant
areas, we went to see them there, and we recruited people. We didn't recruit, that sounds like we did it positively. We left them some forms and said, send those in if you want to come along on the course, completely free.
And we had to run two courses.
We discovered that's too much for us to do in a day,
in one day,
because it's quite draining. But we provided creche facilities, which is all what the funding was used for. The creche facilities, hire of the hall. We had to travel there, obviously. We had to pay for that and the materials. But they really did enjoy it.
The results were astounding.
Yeah, we were very pleased with that.
Absolutely astounding.
Considering what they were like when we spoke to them at the actual initial meeting at the Freedom Course, when I did feel slightly uncomfortable. Because it's largely it's all women on those courses, and they've come from generally abusive relationships with men. So I felt, I personally felt uncomfortable being in that meeting.
Right.
As it turned out, for the vast majority of them, they weren't that bothered. They don't look at it as all men are equal in any way. They've got issues with certain types of men.
But it was a certain person, as you sort of highlighted the fact that you were...
Yeah, one of the social workers...
Just made a point.
You may have noticed this is a man in the room, and I did say, I'm happy to leave if you're uncomfortable. What you say? I said, no, it's not a problem.
It's not a problem, but she see it as a problem.
Yeah, she seemed to see it as a problem, but...
it's a silly thing to say, maybe, but in a way, is that not abuse it's in itself?
I don't know, it could be.
Who knows?
I think
she was trying to be funny.
Yeah, I think she was trying to be funny, but she didn't have much of a sense of humour. but I've always made the point that it is a partnership doing this course, but if any of the women on the course are uncomfortable with having a man in the room, I hope you go and read a book.
Yeah,
it would be the same if we were doing a course for men. If they were unhappy with me being in the room, I'd go elsewhere.
Yeah, we go elsewhere, and that's fine, because it's about those people on the course, not about me.
Have we had any men on the course yet?
Not yet. No. We haven't managed to attract any participants with that. The original funding, which we got from the Big Lottery Fund, was specifically for doing pilot courses for women.
Right.
We got separate funding to do them for homeless people as well from the Ireland Foundation, which we're going to do some more a bit later in the year. But
we had some good results with that too.
But we are looking now, as Maggie said, she's revising the course to make it much bigger, much more in depth. So we got a whole bunch of stuff like... some of them we discovered, which was a shock to us, are still living with their abusers, even though they're on the course.
Right.
So how to deal with that, staying safe, self-esteem building, finding out what positives you've got. I'll just give you a quick drip through
assertiveness, body language,
basic rules of negotiation, how to speak up for yourself.
Negotiation skills, because a lot of them are frightened of their social workers, because if they do something wrong, they're scared they're going to take their children away, and they're scared to negotiate.
That's complicated, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it is. There's some issues.
You only hear one side of that story, but there
but
is
some of the stuff we've been
on.
Told about how they're treated by some of their social workers. It's quite worrying.
I mean, whenever I hear any stories about social workers, they always get dubbed as meddling and out of touch. I don't know whether that's true or not.
I don't know. They're doing a job.
It's probably a difficult job.
And they've
got
a massive caseload. Which, you know, and that doesn't excuse poor behaviour, but they do have a massive caseload. They've got almost no funding for some of the things they do. So, but some of them, Yeah, some of it is bordering on bullying themselves. And we, what we try to do is to teach the ladies on our courses how to negotiate and how to be assertive without being argumentative, because some of them just go straight into argumentative mode and it doesn't get you anywhere.
Sure. So, over the Mind the Gap course is over 12 modules. It each lasts for 2 hours in duration, and the syllabus covers, but is not limited to, the basic points. And it goes on, it goes through all these basic points, and then at the end of it, it's creating your vision of your future, which is where you want to be. And
that's cutting and sticking, and they love it.
Do they?
They absolutely love that, don't they?
Yeah, we it's a bit. It, if you come into the room, we're doing it. It looks like play school, but certain things. If you flick through a magazine, there'll be a picture that you think, "Oh, that's a good picture." For no good reason, then it could be a picture of anything. It could be a picture of a pair of swans. Or it could be a picture of a hovercraft. It doesn't really matter. If it's grabbed you for some reason, what we're saying to them: cut those out, stick them on your board. If that's your vision of how you want to be, so.
And they explain their board and say, "Oh, actually, this is what I want to do. I want to repair." How to do hovercraft? I want to plant flowers. I want to do it. One of the ladies made 4 boards: one for a day, one for night, one for herself, and one for her child.
All right.
She split her life up into different sections. That's what she wants to see.
So that is the positive outcome. That's the positive finish there. Where
they
actually want to be.
Stick that on the wall and look at it, and it will change in time. They can add bits, take bits out.
I would imagine up to that point they haven't really thought about future.
No,
because they're living day to day.
Yeah,
in that bubble,
minute to minute.
Yeah,
and whilst there's an advantage to living in the moment, which is what we try and teach people, having some kind of idea where you're going is also useful as well. And not thinking you're just surviving, you can strive to be somewhere else. And one of the ladies on our mainland course, it started off, well, I'd really like to live back in the West Country. I won't say which town it is, because that's where I found my best. My life was best there. And by the end of the course, I'm moving to this specific town, didn't she, with my child. We're going to do that. I'm looking into social housing there and doing a house swap, because she's in rented accommodation, so it's relatively straightforward to do that if there's something available.
Good luck to
her. It wasn't, yeah, and I was quite pleased, because it wasn't, oh, well, I don't like living here. This is where all the bad memories are. Well, go to where the good memories are.
Yeah.
But she's the same lady who said, actually, I just thought about it. My child is fine. Because she'd been spending ages worrying that she wasn't doing the right thing, and she'd been told that she wasn't a good mother. Yeah. Yeah, actually, he's fine.
Yeah, we said, do you want to go out to the creche to see if he's okay? And she said, no, I just realised he's perfectly all right.
Wow, in the space of how long?
About 5 weeks.
It's
just
really
that
good.
Thinking, isn't it? Changing the way you think.
Look, I never write anything down when I do, you know, when we do things like this. I've written down £1,000, but that was the previous hour we were talking about. But I have written down blame, and I know that blame plays a major part in.
They blame themselves. Feel very guilty. Yeah.
So how do you get that blame? How do you get them to stop blaming themselves? Because I'm assuming that once they've stopped blaming themselves, then they can carry on with their life. They can start putting things right.
It's changing the way they think about themselves.
Yeah. Well,
they're not to blame. They haven't got to be guilty about anything. It's not their fault.
And the past is gone. You can't change it. So why beat yourself up about it? You can't change what you've done or what's happened to you. What you can change is what might happen to you.
How long does it take? Just say, for instance, you get a lady come in, sit down and talk, and you know there's a similar kind of pattern here, you know, you know that they've been abused physically, mentally. How many weeks is it before they stop blaming themselves?
And that depends on each other. I mean, each one of them tells their own story in the beginning, and that in itself is hugely cathartic, because they can say, actually, it's not just me. I thought it was just me. Mm. There's other people as well.
It's
that is part of the healing process, knowing they're not on their own, and then listening to what the other people say. No, it isn't my fault. So it can take some of them a couple of sessions, some of them the whole course.
And
each one is different.
Do you have people? I'm guessing you do. They go on a course, and you can see the difference in them within a couple of weeks.
Oh yes,
yes.
I bet that's a lovely feeling.
You can just watch them change.
Yeah.
And you can watch the penny drop.
We had one lady who said the course wasn't for her, which was very interesting because that was honest of her. It wasn't for her. It wasn't,
at that time.
At that time, she wasn't in the right place. Then a couple of weeks later, she said, I've been thinking about what you said, and I've started up doing this hobby that I've always wanted to do. And because she wanted to sing, and she wasn't allowed to go and sing. And she said,
I'm going to go and do it.
I'm going to go and do it, even though she didn't complete the course because it wasn't right for her at the time. So, very, very pleased with that.
It must give you a you know, it, obviously, you want to carry on, you want to do
we
it.
Want to do more, yeah. But not for our benefit, for their benefit.
Does it help you, though, because you've been through it all before? Do you find it kind of, I don't know, therapeutic for you, or does it make you feel better because of the issues that you had? Is it a bit of both, where you feel good because you're helping other people, and whilst you're helping other people, it helps you come to terms with, if you haven't already, I'm sure you have.
Well, we learn an awful lot whilst we're doing the courses about ourselves, the course we've written, and everything else. And yes, I suppose it does make you feel good, but that's not why we're doing it. Not doing it to make ourselves feel good.
But it does give us, Maggie's story does give us a lot of credibility. Having been through it itself, it's not like we all come in and said, oh, we know exactly what you're feeling, because we don't.
No one can know that.
But
no.
You've got that experience, which is genuine experience. And when we do the sharing, Maggie always starts off with her story, so that she shares first.
And when we did the one with the homeless, we got the lovely Mark Langton to come in.
Oh, right, yeah.
And told his story. Had them in tears.
Mm. Yeah, I bet. Mm. I bet.
Because we couldn't speak from their point of view, so we asked him to come and do it, and he did.
Mm. How easier now? You go, but we mentioned the 60s and 70s, but we now live in an age where we've got mobile phones and so on, and emails and so on and so forth, so it's much easier, I'm guessing, to abuse people. How difficult is that to eradicate? Does that play a major part in where we are?
We have some tips and techniques to stop that happening. People don't seem to think... People don't do the simple things like change their phone number. Don't tell your abuser your phone number. Don't tell your abuser your new address. And don't go on Facebook with your known name or faces. And that way, it sounds hard, but or in some cases it sounds simple, but they go, oh, he keeps ringing me up, keeps texting me saying how wonderful I am and I miss you. Throw the SIM away.
And that's a typical narcissist.
Yeah,
it must be so difficult. Yeah. It must be, you know, when you are that controlled, that you know, okay, you go back 30 years, you go back 20 years, you there's only one way to control mind, and when you're there at home and so on and so forth, but you could be at work, you could be in the park, you could be away from him, away from her, and still be abused. Yeah. So it's easier.
It's a two-way thing, though, isn't it? Because you can also have your secret Facebook group with your support network, and you can say, oh, he rang today, what did you do about it? Well done, you done whatever.
Sure.
So it can work both ways.
We do offer support as well outside of the hours of the course. They can ring or
email. We encourage
them
to have their own network of support.
Yeah, that works very well, their own support network.
Look, we're running out of time, so we just... Yeah, sorry, just whiz by. If there's any details you want to get out to the peeps out there, then please feel free. There's obviously a phone number.
Yeah.
Do you remember the phone number?
It's 01983 754 666. Or they can contact us through the website, which is breakthecycle.org.uk.
Okay, there is a mobile number there as well, but landline 01983 754 666, www.breakthecycle.org.uk. I've just repeated what you said, just in case there was a little old lady there that was, what did you just say? I think it's fantastic what you do. I really,
thank
really
you.
Do. I think if there were more people like you in the world, you know, putting other people first, and not just in a way that, you know, teaching and so on and so forth, is making their lives better, because at the moment their life, you just put yourself in that situation where you're being physically or mentally abused. That ain't like, you know, just having a difficult time, run out of money for a week or whatever. No, this is constant. This is in your face the whole time. So people like yourself coming in and putting those kind of people first, I think is really phenomenal. So, you know, more power to your elbow. And thank you for coming in and sharing it all with us.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck.